TikTok is a fun app, just like Snapchat was fun. You know, new technology type features, things like that. It's not a hard no for me. It's a don't worry about it right now type of thing as far as like should churches panic and jump on this. I think don't worry about it. And it's not like a whoa, you know, avoid it red flag type of thing.
Yes.
But that's like still up in the air.
Yeah.
Now, I know guys like our friend Bo from Life Church.
Yeah.
They're, you know, posting baptism videos and stuff and doing some pretty creative things. And within, you know, a few days, their videos are getting like 30 million views. Like you can't even achieve that on YouTube or any other other platform.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by my friend Justin Dean. Justin, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, buddy. It's been a long time. It's been a couple of years.
It's been a couple of years.
So, you know, thanks for thinking of me.
Yeah. So Justin is the founder of That Church Conference and Sunday U. Can you talk a little bit about what those are and what all you do?
Yeah. So That Church Conference, we just celebrated our fifth annual conference, which was amazing. We held it at Gwinnett Church here, or not here, but in the, because we're not in Atlanta, but north of Atlanta, at Gwinnett Church. So excited about that, excited about our next year. And then SundayU.com is our online training portal for churches and pastors. Lots of resources and training videos, things like that.
Yeah, I love it. I remember us meeting when you were first starter.
Yeah.
And now you're helping thousands of church leaders better communicate and better use social media.
It's a privilege.
So you and I have disagreed, though, through the years. we've agreed on a lot of things.
A lot of things.
We've disagreed passionately about a few things, one of those being Snapchat.
Yeah.
So you were still a fan, podcast, and I have not opened Snapchat in several months.
Right.
I still stand by my beliefs around our debate, but I'm curious from your perspective, the state of Snapchat.
You know, I mean, this is always controversial. People are split 50-50 on it these days. And, you know, Snapchat has plateaued. It's starting to decline a bit, but, you know, definitely with adults. Only people who use it now are teenagers, which is fine. That's filling a need. They've got, you know, millions of users and revenue. But Snapchat these days it's moved from this is not a good idea to like a hard no for me.
Yes.
Like you open up the app and it doesn't matter who you follow or any of that. The content they're pushing, particularly to the teenage audience.
Yeah.
Is just appalling to me. Like, you know, not only are the images, you know, half naked people, which is whatever, you can get past that. That's on billboards.
Yeah.
But there are articles like, you know, here's how to have an abortion and not tell your parents. Here's how to know if you're transgender or not and how to not tell your parents about it. Or, you know, here's what porn doesn't teach you about sex. Like those are legit headlines, articles that they're pushing to you that you can't avoid. You know, it doesn't matter who you follow. This is the content that they're pushing to you from Snapchat.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as churches, particularly youth groups, we shouldn't be saying, come follow us on Snapchat. We've got content there for you because we're then forcing them to see this other content. Yeah. And the parents are saying, like, if a parent of a kid who goes to youth group and the youth group is saying Snapchat's okay, follow us there.
Yep.
Parents aren't going to do the homework and that's on them.
Yes.
But they're going to say, well, if the youth group says Snapchat's okay, then I'm sure it's fine.
Yep.
And that gets really dangerous because then the kids are viewing this stuff in secret and no one's talking about it.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a hard no for me. Like it's just done. And on top of that, there's just no reason really to be there anymore. Like I think you can reach the same audience in different ways through Instagram, YouTube, lots of different ways. And so, you know, I just don't buy the argument that we need to be where the kids are. Like just, that's not true.
And this is where we had the debate before.
Yeah.
And this is, I think and I think this is where you, like, you have a hard no. Have a hesitant yes in that, like, I feel like because I got on Snapchat early, I was better prepared for Instagram stories. I think there's an opportunity to reach people in a unique way on the platform. Now, I think it's probably, I'm in agreement. I don't know that I would be driving this as your platform for your youth group to chat and interact, but I do think there's a evangelistic opportunity. I think there's some engagement opportunities. Let's though move our conversation, because we've got a whole conversation we have about Snapchat, but go ahead.
Me just add one thing to that though. Like, yes, of course there's an evangelical opportunity there.
Yeah.
There's an evangelical opportunity anywhere. The Holy Spirit can work anywhere. People bring that to my attention all the time. They're like, I'm on Snapchat and five people have gotten saved this week. It's like, duh, I could walk into a strip club and start talking to strippers about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can use that to save the stripper.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, I'm looking at a naked woman and I'm, you know, it's not a smart thing to do.
Yes.
So, yeah, there can be, you know, Romans 8:28, like, God can use anything for good. I don't I think he'd be a little upset using that for good, but
and that's a radical that's a radical example.
Totally.
To compare, but because I would also then argue somebody should have that calling. Maybe it's not for everybody, but I think there are people that could do ministry.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be your youth pastor.
But it shouldn't be your youth pastor. But it's a different.
Like, there should be a former stripper who does that, and there is that former stripper who turned a Christian who's totally. Like, that's her ministry. She goes to strip clubs.
That's great. Strippers. And I think a youth pastor that wants to reach teenagers can go to where teenagers are, and maybe where teenagers are sinning, and to redeem it. So I say that.
Maybe.
We agree more than we disagree, even on this topic. But right. I do respect your. radical, stance here. I'm curious, you've got kids that are getting older.
Yeah.
What's your take on your kids being engaged on social media as they're moving into this age of potentially being on social media?
It's a conversation we're having every day these days, because my oldest son is 12. He's going to be, a teenager any day now.
13 is where you can get an Instagram and Facebook.
Totally, legally, rules. Yeah. And he's got cousins and friends who, have just turned 13, and they're all having these, their parents are letting them get Facebook and all these accounts. And I'm just cringing, he personally is not ready yet. But then there's a large part of me that's like, I want to champion that and go for it. Like, I can't wait till my kids are on social media and I can actually interact with them and tag them and stuff like that. And that way, I think that's really neat. But, I just, I don't know. We will probably introduce Facebook slowly with some parental guidance, heavy parental guidance.
Are you familiar with Messenger for Kids?
Yeah, he's been using that for a while. Yeah. So, he can't get on Facebook, but he can interact. He doesn't have many other friends and kids his age that are using it.
We use it for family to talk to, like, cousins.
Yeah, we'll do that. We have a couple cousins on it, and that's cool. He hasn't really, adopted it too much. I don't even know if he'll even enjoy Facebook at his level.
Yeah, yeah.
He uses, like, text messaging a ton, though. We use, like, the Bark app to monitor that.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
talk about the Bark app. I'm not familiar.
Yeah, Bark. My friend Matt McKee's involved with that. That's how I found out about it.
Yeah.
It's a monitoring type service. You sign up, connect it to all the social media accounts that your kids use, and you connect it to their phone.
Yep.
It's through the way it works is, like, every night it backs up their phone to the cloud. And so there's no app on their phone that they can delete or circumvent or anything like that. And so you're delayed in the reporting by a 24 hour period. But every night I get a report and alerts that says, hey, in this text message thread, your son was talking about violence, or there might be bullying in here, or there's sexual content or whatever.
Wow.
And then you can click and see the whole thread and decide for yourself whether to, bring it up with them or not.
Yes.
We get a lot of false flags. Like, he'll watch, like, Dan TDM videos of playing, this guy's on YouTube playing Minecraft.
Yep.
And it'll flag it for, like, violence. Yep. And so, I'll look at it really quick and go, okay, that's just, watching a guy play a video game. That's not an issue.
Yes.
But it might be for some.
Yes.
So, you alter the flags a little bit, but it'll pretty much monitor everything from Instagram to DMs to tweets to text messaging, and there's no way to circumvent it. And it doesn't block anything. It just alerts you to what's going on. So then you can have that conversation with your kids. So that's been really great because, you know, 2 years ago we were, you know, he didn't have a phone.
Yes.
And we introduced the phone a little earlier than we wanted to.
Yep.
But we just went for it and it's been great being able to, you know, contact him at a friend's house or something.
McGee's a hero of mine too. What he did with Circle too.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt is a genius. So anytime he's involved with something, I'm like, I know that's going to be good.
But all right. Bark.
It's like $10 a month or something like that. Yeah. It's well worth it if you got kids using phones.
And I want to create clarity before we get to the next point of the conversation. If you're watching on our video, we are not in a bar or a strip club as we're having that conversation. We are at a retreat, and this is a little bowling alley that's behind us. And so we have these fun lights.
I was wondering why you brought up the stripper ministry.
Yeah. I just felt the need to clarify for anybody that's watching.
Yeah, we're in an entrepreneur's retreat, and there's a bowling alley in this house. So that's
in Orlando. Down the street from Disney World. So I want to talk, though, today. I feel like similar to Snapchat, the new Snapchat is TikTok.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Different features. I think Snapchat was really created so that people could send dirty pictures and parents couldn't figure it out.
Literally. And it evolved quickly from that. That's not even an issue anymore. But, yeah.
I still feel like it's an issue.
But you can do that over text messaging.
As my kids are getting older, I'm getting more and more paranoid. So I feel like I'm becoming more Justin Dean-ish as my kids are aging. Because I'm like,
you always make me sound like I'm a prepper in a bunker.
I just love that you are like the Bible verse of like hot or cold. So like there's no lukewarm.
There's no lukewarm, man.
You're either in or out. And so I'm running too hot though. So let's talk about TikTok.
Yeah.
What's your take on TikTok? No, and I want to preface. I've become, it's caught my attention more and more.
Yeah.
I heard a stat this last week from Gary Vee that, which we've had other debates about Gary Vee. We won't go into that today either.
I love Gary Vee.
But 500 million active users now. Twitter has 300 million active users.
Right.
It's almost double the engagement of Twitter. So
yeah,
it's growing like crazy. What's your take though on TikTok?
For one, I always love that that we always compare things to Twitter because Twitter is very, very small. You know, like that's what people said about Snapchat. It's already surpassed Twitter in the first week. It's like, well, that's easy to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Twitter's 140 million people. That's not a lot of Twitter users. But anyway, TikTok is fun. It's you get on there. It's a lot of fun content. I don't know who that was. That was weird.
We're on
for our audio listeners. Yes. Somebody just ran by. I'm not even sure he's fully clothed. But TikTok is a fun app, just like Snapchat was fun. You know, new technology type features, things like that. It's not a hard no for me. It's a don't worry about it right now type of thing as far as like should churches panic and jump on this.
Yeah.
I think don't worry about it. And it's not like a whoa, you know, avoid it red flag type of thing.
Yes.
But that's like still up in the air.
Yeah.
Now, I know guys like our friend Bo from Life Church.
Yeah.
They're, you know, posting baptism videos and stuff and doing some pretty creative things. And within, you know, a few days, their videos are getting like 30 million views. Like you can't even achieve that on YouTube or any other platform. Now it's subjective. Like the videos pop up automatically. They loop automatically.
Sure.
You know, before you can swipe, you viewed it five times because they're 15 seconds on average. Yeah, yeah. And so, but even if it's a third of those views, that's a pretty huge audience.
Yes.
That you're reaching with these videos. And so I get that and I see that opportunity. And yeah, maybe those people, when they're flicking between videos, they see a cool, you know, baptism video and it sparks something, like totally opportunities there. I think there's less opportunity to chat and build relationships and discipleship through the app. But as far as like putting out fun content, there's an opportunity there. My issue though is, it's a niche type of thing that's not going to get mass adoption, particularly with adults, like trendy adults, sure, teenagers for sure, because it's a hard app to use, just like Snapchat was hard to use for adults, and probably by design, like these people who build these apps want the teenagers using it, and as soon as you open the app, music starts blasting and videos start playing, even if your phone's on silent.
Yep.
And it's maybe 9 out of 10 of the videos are teenage girls in their pajamas dancing to music.
Yes.
None of it's provocative or
I would say none of it, but
well, yeah, like sure, there's content on there, but that stuff gets flagged, I think. And, you know, there's enough users now that I've never seen like a naked person on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did open the app once because I'm like, man, everyone's talking about it. I got to check it out.
Yeah.
Open it up. Music starts blaring. Some people look at you. What are you doing? And there's a, you know, a 16, 17-year-old girl like twerking, you know, in her shorts to some music. And it was a funny video, but I was just like, oh, crap. Like, you know, my wife looks over. What are you watching? And it's just like, okay, I can't use an app that I'm embarrassed to open.
Yes.
You know, and if I can only use it in private, then that's an issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have told me, okay, the more people you follow, the more people you use it, it adapts and it shows you content that's more relevant to you.
Yes.
You know, the default is twerking teenagers, I guess.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, I don't want to have to use this so much that it changes the content if that's what's the majority of that's on there. So that's an issue. You know, like my son, it'll be years before he uses it. And by then it'll be, you know, Instagram will have taken over it anyway. So it's like a non-issue for me. It's hot and trendy now, and some people are panicking and freaking out about it. But I wouldn't let my son use it because of that content that's on there.
Yeah.
And because of that, I don't think youth groups should be saying we need to jump on this trend just because it's cool and trendy.
Okay.
But I don't feel like – I feel like you can circumvent that if you do it right for now, it seems. You know, it's still too early to really – like call a hard shot on this one.
Yeah. It's hard to know how to navigate this. So what I hear you say is wait and see. It's probably the advice for most church leaders when it comes to TikTok.
I don't think churches have to panic and do the new things, you know, right away. It's fine to wait and see. Build a plan and do it right and make sure it's a good platform you want to, because even Snapchat early on, I was promoting it and saying, you know, I came around and said, churches need to get on this. It's a huge opportunity. It's growing like crazy.
Yeah.
Before Instagram copied everything, it was like the hot item.
Yes.
Because Instagram killed it and they lost revenue, they introduced the Discover tab content. Yeah. And that's when it became bad.
Yeah.
Like, and then I was like, whoa, this is a hard no. I can't, you know, condone people looking at that content, even adults.
Yeah.
But before then it was great. And so it's the same with TikTok. Wait and see a little bit, and it might be an actual platform that we should use. But
so my advice would probably differentiate a little bit of, I think that a church today should maybe, because I think churches wait until they've got a perfect plan, and they never have a perfect plan. So they never do anything.
Yeah.
And so my advice would be, get a TikTok account, get your church's handle now,
right?
Whether you use it or not.
Day one, you should do that.
Get that handle. Yes. Every potential new, get it on LinkedIn, get it on, you know, you might never use any of these platforms. Get your handle so you have consistency.
Yeah.
But I would even go as far as to say, I would try to post one TikTok video per week for the sake of not TikTok, but for the sake of learning the medium, because that was the core value I feel like I gained and a lot of churches gained that did it and embraced
Snapchat.
Don't
promote it yet. You know, don't say follow us.
Go get us on TikTok.
But it builds
because you're not going to be good at, it's going to take you 100 TikTok videos before you're good at it. And so create one a week now and just start learning how to do it, because it's probably going to get copied by Instagram or Facebook or others.
Yeah.
And that's probably where it's going to even reach mass adoption.
Yeah. Like Zuckerberg's already said that they see the threat, they see the growth, and you know, he's flat out said, we're going to build the exact same thing either into Instagram or into a new app. And I think that's coming within weeks.
Yeah.
And I think it will have a significant impact on TikTok's growth. And then TikTok will become a niche thing like Snapchat is. Like, there's still, you know, millions of teenagers using Snapchat because they're ecstatic that the adults are gone now.
Yeah.
Same thing will happen to TikTok, I think.
Yeah.
I would caveat that, like, I totally agree with you. Churches should tinker with this. They should grab their handle. They should keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
The average church, though, should not be like panic in a rush to like adopt this as a new platform.
Yep.
The Life churches, the North Points, the big churches that have a little more resources, they're mastering Facebook and Twitter and Instagram already.
Yes.
And have a little bit of bandwidth and resources to go all in with TikTok. totally okay with that. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's not the norm. Don't, you know, don't follow Elevation and Life Church and do what they do, because it's a totally different ballgame.
Yes.
The average church, you know, of 1,000 people or less, or even 100, 300 people, yeah, with a part-time social media manager, you'll probably never, yeah, get on TikTok in a big way, because, yeah, you're probably struggling just to do Instagram well. Yeah. And I think that's far more important, even if TikTok doubles tomorrow, you know, which it might. It's growing that fast. Yeah. It's nuts. And yes, there's opportunity there, but I think the deeper, longer lasting opportunity where you should put your resources is in, you know, YouTube and Instagram if you want to reach the same audience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting day. It'd be interesting to see if it hits a billion, potentially even by before we get to 2020 at the rate of growth it's hitting. But
it's nuts, the growth.
Who knows?
A lot of it is overseas, though.
Yes.
Like there's a dozen countries to where it's surpassing even Facebook and Instagram already. And that's why they're seeing it as a threat. But in the U.S., you got to keep that in perspective, too. Like, you know, the majority of churches who are panicked about this are in the U.S. And that's not where the TikTok users are, the majority of them. So, but that could change literally next week, the way that it's growing.
Yeah. Interesting conversation. As I think about people potentially worth following on TikTok, as I've been tinkering, I didn't know Life Church had accounts. I'm going to go check them out.
Yeah. And Bo Coffrin, like Lunchbox Dad, is his blog and stuff. He's doing personal content on there too, which is nice. Great.
Gary Vaynerchuk is on there. Aussie Dave is on there.
Yeah, Gary V's on there. Yeah, Aussie Dave has I don't know, you have to go check it out, but he posted a video of his daughter being baptized in the Jordan River. Very awesome, emotional video.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to say it's like up to, you know, 100 million views.
No way.
It's ridiculous. Like when he told me that, I was like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's legit. Like, I can't complain. That's a bad thing. Like, I may have to swipe through three girls twerking to get to it, but that's cool that 100 million people have seen this awesome, you know, video on there. Worth something.
What I have found too, and we're going to wrap this conversation up, but in using it for a little bit, because I remember I was like, Katie, I don't want to look at this. Katie's my wife. Before, without her being there.
Right. And I'm like, if I can't use it without my wife present, it's not something I should be doing.
Yes. But now that I've used it for a little while, I don't see those other videos. Okay. It's really kind of showing me marketers and church, you know, I haven't seen very many church people. I love a guy, Zach King. He's like the illusionist or whatever.
He's on there.
Yeah, he's on there. He's got all his cool little tricks and stuff on there. But there are some cool accounts on there. Bob Saget just got on there.
That's legit.
And Howie Mandel. So there's some like
old guys. Creative enough to like create content on it too. Like I'm not cool enough.
But I think that's how you learn. I mean, I think because almost every
are you posting
like
videos
with Facebook? I posted like five videos,
like cool ones.
I'm not creative enough. But I also know that I'm not creative, period. But I'm on YouTube and I'm on Instagram and I've developed a following and I found those platforms. So I'm not
good at
YouTube. I'm not Aussie Dave.
Right.
With the guy's just a creative genius.
Yeah.
But I'm going to find an audience on there probably, or I'm going to tinker and I'm going to learn and I'm going to be able to, I want to be able to help other people figure out how to use it. I feel like churches though have naturally so much content. It's awesome to hear about a baptism video that's done incredibly well on the platform.
I wish these platforms would just embrace that and build in some controls and stuff. Like the default, like literally the first time I opened it up, I was just like, oh, that's an inappropriate video. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And you know, I would totally be on board and probably be trying to figure out producing content for it if it wasn't, you know, if that wasn't the case. And so I don't get that. Like even Snapchat, they could save themselves by putting in some parental controls.
All right, we're back. We just got cut off. Justin, I'm sorry. It was really genius. And we're going to just let our listeners dream about what that was.
It was the most brilliant part of the podcast.
The
Holy Spirit overcame me and I just said some brilliant stuff. I don't even remember.
Yes. So just as we wrap up the podcast, can you share how people can connect with you online?
Sure. I mean, you can check out the conference at thatcc.com. Our next one is in September in Atlanta. It's going to be huge. And SundayU.com is our online training site. And then me personally, you can follow me, Justin J. Dean, on everywhere, including Snapchat, but I won't get your messages. but include that J in the middle. But,
there you go.
You know, Twitter, JustinJDean.com.
There you go.
Everywhere.
Good, good. And do you have a TikTok account?
I do. I think it's Justin. @JustinJDean. Yeah.
All right. And I'm @NilSmith on TikTok, so go follow us.
I will. I'll check out your
maybe we'll make
videos.
A little TikTok video here in a moment.
We should.
So thanks, everybody, for listening to the Social Media Church podcast. Go to socialmedia.church to see the show notes and connect with us there and listen to more episodes. Thanks so much for listening.